Interlude. Locke explains.
It was an accident, Locke said at last. They were both accidents.
Excuse me, I must not have heard you. Father Chain's eyes narrowed in the faint red glow of Locke's tiny ceramic lamp. I could have sworn you just said, toss me over the parapet. I'm a useless little cuss, and I'm ready to die at this very moment.
Chains had moved their conversation up to the roof of the temple, where they sat comfortably beneath high parapets meant to be threaded with decorative plants. The long-lost hanging gardens of the House of Perelandro were a small but important aspect of the sacrificial tragedy of the eyeless priest. One more bit of stage setting to draw sympathy, measured in coins. The clouds had roiled in overhead, palely reflecting the parti-coloured glimmers of night-lit Camor, obscuring the moons and the stars. The hangman's wind was little more than a damp pressure that nudged the sluggish air around Chains and Locke as the boy struggled to clarify himself.
No, I meant to hurt them, but that's all. I didn't know those things would happen.
Well, that I can almost believe.
Chains tapped the index finger of his right hand against his left palm, the Camori marketplace gesture for get on with it.
So take me all the way. That almost is a major problem for you. Make me understand, starting with the first boy.
Veslin, Locke whispered. And Gregor. But Veslin first.
Veslin indeed, Chains said. Poor soul, got a superfluous orifice carved into his neck by none other than your old master. He had to go buy one of those lovely shark's teeth from the copper, and that one got used. So, why?
In the hill, some of the older boys and girls stopped going out to work.
Locke wove his fingers tightly together and stared down at them as though they might sprout answers.
They would just take things when we came back each day, shake us down, make our reports to the master for us, leave things out sometimes.
Chains nodded.
Privileges of age, size, and ass-kissing. If you survive this conversation, you'll find that it's just the same in most of the big gangs. Most.
And there was one boy, Veslin. He'd do more. He'd kick us, punch us, take our clothes, make us do things. Lots of times he'd lie to the master about what we'd brought in. He'd give some of our things to the older girls in windows, and all of us in streets would get less food, especially the teasers.
Locke's small hands pulled apart and curled slowly into fists as he spoke.
And if we tried to tell the master, he just laughed, like he knew about it and thought it was funny. And after we told, Veslin would just get worse.
Chains nodded, then tapped his index finger against his palm once more.
I thought about it a lot. None of us could fight him. He was too big. None of us had any big friends in the hill. And if we ganged up on Veslin, his big friends would all come after us. Veslin went out each day with some of his friends. We saw them while we were working. They wouldn't mess with our jobs, but they would watch us, you know. And Veslin would say things.
Locke's thin-lipped scowl would have been comical on a less dirty, less emaciated, less hollow-eyed boy. As it was, he looked like a slender wall gargoyle, working himself up for a pounce.
Say things when we came back, about how we were clumsy or lazy and not taking enough. And he would push us more, and hit us more, and cheat us more. I thought and I thought and I thought about what to do.
And the idea, said Chains, the fateful idea, was it all yours?
Yes, the boy nodded vigorously, all mine. I was alone when I had the idea. I saw some yellow jackets on patrol and I thought about their sticks and their swords. And I thought, what if they beat up Veslin? What if they had some reason not to like him?
Locke paused for breath.
And I thought more, but I couldn't work it. I didn't know how, But then I thought, what if they weren't angry with Veslin? What if I used them as an excuse to make the master angry with Veslin?
Chains nodded sagely. And where did you get the white iron coin?
Locke sighed. Streets. All of us who didn't like Veslin stole extra. We watched and we clutched and we worked hard. It took weeks. It took forever. I wanted white iron. I finally got one from a fat man dressed all in black wool. Funny coats and ties.
A Vardran. Chains seemed bemused. Probably a merchant come down to do some business. Too proud to dress for the weather at first, and sometimes too cheap to see a tailor in town. So you got a white iron coin. A full crown.
Everyone wanted to see it. Everyone wanted to touch it. I let them. Then I made them be quiet. I made them promise not to talk about it. I told them it was how we were going to get Veslin.
So what did you do with your coin?
Put it in a purse, a little leather purse, the kind we clutched all the time, and hid it out in the city so it wouldn't get taken from us. A place we knew about where nobody big could get to. And I made sure that Veslin and his friends were out of the hill, and I got the coin, and I went back in early one day. I gave up coppers and bread to the older girls on the door, but the coin was in my shoe.
Here Locke paused and fiddled with his little lamp, making the red glow waver on his face.
I put it in Veslin's room, the one where he and Gregor slept, one of the nice dry tombs, center of the hill. I found a loose stone and hid the purse there. And when I was sure nobody had seen me, I asked to see the master. I said that some of us had seen Veslin at one of the Yellow Jacket stations, that he'd taken money from them, that he'd shown it to us, and said that if we told on him, he'd sell us to the Yellow Jackets.
Amazing. Chains scratched his beard. You know you don't mumble and stutter quite so much when you're explaining how you fucked someone over?
Locke blinked, then turned his chin up and stared hard at Chains. The older man laughed.
Wasn't a criticism, son, and I didn't mean to dam the flow. Keep the story coming. How did you know your old master would take offense at this? Did the Yellow Jackets ever offer you or your friends money?
No, Locke said. No, but I knew the master gave them money. For favors, for information. We saw him putting coins in purses sometimes, so I figured maybe I could work it the other way.
Ah.
Chains reached within the folds of his robe and withdrew a flat leather wallet, the color of baked bricks in the light of Locke's lamp. From this he withdrew a scrap of paper, onto which he shook a dark powder from another corner of the wallet. This object he rapidly folded, end over end, until it was a tight cylinder. And with courtly grace he lit one end by holding it in the lamp's flame. Soon he was sending ghostly grey swirls of smoke up to join the ghostly grey clouds. The stuff smelled like burning pine tar.
Forgive me, Chains said, shifting his bulk to his right so his direct exhalations would miss the boy by a few feet. Two smokes a night is all I let myself have. The rough stuff before dinner and the smooth stuff after. Makes everything taste better.
So I'm staying for dinner?
Oho, my cheeky little opportunist. Let's say the situation remains fluid. You go ahead and finish your story. You tipped your old master that Veslin was working as an auxiliary member of the famed Camor Constabulary. He must have thrown quite a fit.
He said he'd kill me if I was lying.
Locke scuttled to his own right, even farther from the smoke.
But I said he'd had the coin in his room, his and Gregor's. So he tore it apart. I hid the coin real well, but he found it. He was supposed to.
What did you expect to happen then?
I didn't know they'd get killed.
Chains couldn't hear any real grief in that soft and passionate little voice, but there seemed to be real puzzlement, real aggravation.
I wanted to beat Veslin. I thought maybe he'd do him up in front of all of us. We ate together most nights. The whole hill. Fuck-ups had to do tricks or serve and clean everything. Sometimes get held down for caning. Drink ginger oil. I thought he'd get those things. Maybe all those things.
Well. Chains held an inhalation of smoke for a particularly long moment, as though the tobacco could fill him with insight, and looked away from Locke. When he finally exhaled, he did so in little puffs, forming wobbly crescents that fluttered a few feet and faded into the general haze. He harumphed and turned back to the boy.
Well, you certainly learned the value of good intentions, didn't you? Caning, cleaning and serving. Poor Veslin got cleaned and served, all right. How did your old master do it?
He was gone for a few hours, and when he came back, he waited, in Veslin's room. When Veslin and Gregor came back that night, there were older boys nearby, so they couldn't go anywhere. And then, the master just killed them, both. Cut Veslin's throat, and some of the others said he looked at Gregor for a while, and he didn't say anything, and then he just...
Locke made the same sort of jabbing motion with two fingers that Chains had made at him earlier.
He did Gregor, too.
Of course he did. Poor Gregor. Gregor Foss, wasn't it? One of those lucky little orphans old enough to remember his last name. Not unlike yourself. Of course your old master did him, too. He and Veslin were best friends, right? Two draughts from the same bottle. It was an elementary assumption that one would know that the other was hiding a fortune under a rock.
Chains sighed and rubbed his eyes.
Elementary. So, now that you've told your part, would you like me to point out where you fucked everything up? And to let you know why most of your little friends in streets that helped you pluck that white iron coin are going to be dead before morning?